Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The head coach of the Browns, Hugh Jackson, is with us. Coach, you very excited post-draft here?
Man, I am fired up. This is big time. We got some really good players. Guys, I mean, I think it was a tremendous class, first of all. And again, as I've been saying for the last several days, I just, again, have to thank my coaching staff, John Dorsey and the personnel staff and Elliot and Alonzo. I just think it's been a plan that's been put in place ever since John got here. We've worked the free agency, made some trades during free agency, and now to really go into the draft and go acquire more young talent. Well, I think we're really excited about the future.
Coach, let's start with Baker Mayfield, your quarterback, your number one overall pick. What was it about him that made you fall in love with this kid? I know you liked him a lot. I assume he was your top guy coming into this deal as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we did a really good job of vetting all these guys out. We spent a lot of hours with these quarterbacks and put them through the ropes, as you would say, a little bit, and to find out more about them. And we dug into everything. And when it was all said and done, I thought Baker was the best fit for us, and I thought he was the best quarterback in the class this year. I mean, obviously, he was the Heisman Trophy winner. He completes the ball. He takes care of the football. He's a proven leader. He knows how to score and get his teammates to play at a high level. And those are the things, the characteristics that I think you got to have to play this game up here at this level.
You know, Coach, he talked about in his press conference some of the concepts that they run at Oklahoma and how there are teams in the league, including Kansas City and Philadelphia, among others, that run some of those RPOs and play action passes. How much of what he does in college will you try to look to implement in your system here?
Well, we have a lot of different variety of things we can do. I think Coach Haley does a good job of really tailoring everything to the player. You know, that's what all of us guys who've been on offense have always tried to do is make sure we put our players in best position to have success. And so I'm sure whatever we feel like he's really strong at is really exciting to be able to get him here this weekend and work with him. So we'll make sure that we do those things.
We're talking with Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. Coach, you've said all along Tyrod Taylor will be the starter week one for the Cleveland Browns, but obviously with Baker Mayfield being a little older for a rookie and drafted first overall and seeming more, at least to on the outside, more ready to start maybe than some of the other quarterbacks in the draft, will there be a true competition? And if Baker outplays Tyrod in the preseason in training camp, will he have a chance to be the starter week one?
I don't look at it that way. I mean, this is going to be the future of our franchise. I'm talking about Baker Mayfield. So I'm not going to stick him out there too soon. And I said that the other day. Now, if for some reason, I mean, the learning curve is really fast and he's doing some great things, we'll still temper it and let it take its course the way it needs to go. But I think Tyrod Taylor is going to be our quarterback. I've committed to that. God forbid something happens to Tyrod, but Tyrod's done an outstanding job since he's been in this building. I think he's earned the respect and trust of his teammates, and obviously he's going to go out there and lead our team right now. Obviously, Baker's going to compete, and where that all fits, you know, in the rotation when training camp is here and done, we'll kind of go from there.
So I get it. I get not rushing him. Nobody wants to rush him. We agree with that. We're on your side with that. But, you know, if the guy just kills it, I mean, if he's so, you know, I don't think the Seahawks were planning on starting Russell Wilson, and I know Tyrod's better than Matt Flynn, but still, they weren't planning on starting Russell Wilson, but he was so good they couldn't keep him out of the lineup.
Well, you just said it. Yeah. I mean, it would have to be something that just blows me away and blows the organization away, because we have a plan in place. And like you said, I know plans do change. I understand where you're coming from, and I respect that. But I would like to really, really make sure that is the case, as opposed to we creating the narrative that it could be the case.
Yep.
You know, let's let it happen that way. And if it does, that organically happen. And if it doesn't, I think we're going to be in a great spot moving forward.
Coach, it's 70s this week in Cleveland. Fans want to know when you're jumping in the lake.
It's coming soon.
Okay.
Yeah, I know everybody. I catch a lot of crap about that. Everybody think I'm not going to do it. I'm doing it. Like some other people make some bets and they're not doing it. And someday I'll explain to everybody why I couldn't do it sooner, why I've had to do it later. There's a reason behind that. It's not like I'm running from my commitment to do it. I'm going to definitely jump in this lake.
You said other people are not backing up their bets. So you want to call anybody out by name?
No, I'm not going to do that. But
okay.
I've heard, boy, I know there's some things people promise. Boy, they're going to have to show up and pay up.
That's right. Sometimes you got to eat something you don't want to eat. You know what I'm saying, Coach?
Oh, that could be bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, we're talking with Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. Coach, look, man, I mean, the reality of this you talk about this all the time. This is a results business, and in the last two seasons, you know, the wins and losses, clearly not what the fans want, clearly not what you want. I'm curious if there was ever a point, you know, 1-31 where you're thinking, man, I may not last. 1-31 is a tough deal. I mean, most coaches wouldn't. You have, and you've proven to the owner that you deserve a shot to come back, and you are. You're back. Was there ever a doubt?
Well, I don't ever look at it that way. And again, but at the same time, I do thank Dee and Jimmy for the opportunity to continue to lead this organization. So hopefully they saw something in me, you know, to be able to lead these men and to get them to where they need to be. And it was two very trying and tough years. I'll be the first to tell you that. But at the same time, there was a lot of lessons learned. It's gotten us into a situation where there's a tremendous relationship between myself and John Dorsey and our personnel staff and our coaching staff, and I really think that we're on the right track. There's no question we need to get to winning as fast as we can. I do get it. It is a results business. I didn't come here to be 1-31. I didn't forget how to coach when I came to Cleveland. I mean, there's been a lot of different things, and again, that's at the end of the day, it's my responsibility, and I'd take ownership of that. You know, it's my record, it's our organization's record, and we got to go fight our way out of it.
We're talking with Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. Coach, you referred to John Dorsey as, quote, a real football guy. Do you think Sashi Brown was a real football guy?
I don't want to really get into that. I have a lot of respect for Sashi. Sashi is a tremendous person, and all I'm really talking about is what's going on now, you know, with John and my time with him and just how we see things, you know, just me and him and the team that I'm working with now. I mean, there's clear vision on what we're trying to accomplish. I'm just thankful for watching through free agency the players we were able to acquire and put on this football team, and now through the draft, the other players we're able to acquire and put on this football team is going to truly give us a chance, to get us to winning.
We're talking with Browns head coach Hugh Jackson. Coach, you drafted Austin Corbett in the second round, first pick of the second round. I know he played tackle and guard at Nevada. A lot of people were projecting him as a guard. You clearly don't need a guard, at least in the starting lineup. Is Austin Corbett the leading candidate to be your starting left tackle?
Well, he's going to have an opportunity to go out there and play. You know, we're going to put the best five guys out there. We just think this guy is a tremendous, tremendous offensive lineman. You know, where he plays, I mean, I think we're going to have a lot of versatility along the line to make decisions about who's going to be the best five. He could end up in those five. He could not end up in those five. But we think we acquired a really, really talented player that's going to be a good player for us for years to come.
Coach, you guys draft Antonio Callaway from Florida in the fourth round. Controversial pick by some because he's got a checkered background and didn't play last year, suspended and everything. But his talent is clearly there. And John Dorsey talked about his talent could have been the second or third receiver maybe taken in this draft had he played. But he didn't. And so, you know, fans are questioning about this guy and whatnot, but clearly the talent there. Corey Coleman, is the pressure on Coleman? Because you drafted a couple receivers here.
Well, I think the pressure is on everybody, you know, to step their game up to another level. You know, I think if you look now throughout our team, there's going to be competition everywhere, you know, whether it's at quarterback, whether it's at receiver, running back, defensive back. I mean, it's kind of everywhere along this team, and that's how you start to build a team. And as far as Callaway is concerned, there's no question he's a very talented player. But it wasn't the player that we first attacked. It was the character. There were some issues in there. There's no doubt we can't run from that. But we really worked through that as an organization, feel very comfortable with it, think we truly have the resources that can assist and help and see if we can get this young man pointed in the right direction so that he'll have an opportunity to earn a right to play football here in Cleveland.
Coach, you know, you talk about Callaway. I mean, you say he got things in place. He's failed a drug test. He failed a drug test at the combine. Mm-hmm. He's tested positive for marijuana. Mm-hmm. He was suspended for the stolen credit card. He was accused mm-hmm. of sexual assault. The mm-hmm. guy he drafted in the sixth round, Simeon Thomas, also some red flags on the resume. And Baker Mayfield, to be fair, too, ran from the police last summer. Is there a question with character in the draft picks?
I love how you brought them all out, yeah. You know. But I will say this.
I keep it real, Coach. I mean,
that's what I love about you. And all those things that you mentioned are definitely things that we had to work through on all these players on a case-by-case basis. But I truly believe that we feel very comfortable with the decisions that we made. You know, there's no question that all those things didn't happen here. I mean, so yeah, there is a history of these players and some things that they've been involved in that is not becoming of what we want our guys to be. That message has been relayed. We understand the situations very clearly about those things that have happened. And we're looking for those guys to come here and be different, act different, and be contributing members of this football team and community as we move forward.
Is there a shorter leash on those guys? I mean, do those guys come in knowing that, hey, one more strike, you're probably not going to get a chance? You know, we're taking a big risk here by giving you an opportunity to come in and draft you?
Absolutely. I mean, we want these guys to understand it is a privilege and an honor to have an opportunity to be a part of this football team and be a part of this organization. And we've done, you know, a pretty good job over the last couple of years of not having those kind of issues. You know, so they're going to come into a culture of men who understand this is kind of the way we do things. Not that we've done everything perfect, but we do things for the most part the right way here. And that's what they're going to have to make sure that they're able to do.
Was there any hesitation at all on Callaway, especially considering you already have Josh Gordon and all the trouble he's been through?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, not so much because of Josh. I just think because of the things you mentioned earlier that we really had to really talk through it and understand it and make sure that our comfort level was right. And as I said, that we had the resources that we thought that could help and move this young man forward.
But you tired of people telling you you need to run the ball more?
Me? No, I mean, we do. I mean, that's the way you win. Yeah. It's not so much anybody telling me. I don't think, you know, again, when you're in those games and you're trying to win and you're standing out there and you fall behind by 10 points or whatever that is, I'd put anybody in those shoes and let them try to figure it out. It's a little different. But I do know that we have some guys here that I think we're going to be able to be a physical football team and run the ball. We hope to run the ball more. I think that's the fastest way you really start to get to winning in your division. We got to do it better than what we've done it over the last 2 years. And I'm looking forward to that.
I guess it's a good problem to have when you've got a guy like Hyde, who you guys sign in free agency. You just drafted Nick Chubb, who you don't spend a second-round pick on a running back if you don't want to give him the rock. And then Duke, he may be the best pass-catching running back in the league. You know, good problem to have, Coach, right? Getting the football around.
You said it. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, you're going to have to earn the right to get this ball in your hands and have a chance to make plays. And that's what it should be. I mean, the good teams that I've been on, we've always had a lot of competition, and it brings out the best in the players, which then makes the team better. And I think there's no other way to do this. That's what it is, and that's what we're looking forward to having here.
We're talking with head coach Hugh Jackson. It's the Bull and Fox Show on 92.3 The Fan, WKRK, FM, and HD1, Cleveland Heights, Cleveland. Hugh, Coach, you know, you guys made some changes this offseason, obviously, in the coaching staff. You bring in an OC for the first time with Todd Haley from Pittsburgh. You bring in Ken Zampezi, your old buddy from Cincinnati, veteran quarterback coach. Talk about the dynamic on the field. You've called the plays for the last 2 years. Will Todd Haley be calling the plays this year? Will you still be calling the plays? How is that going to break down?
No, Todd Haley will call the plays. That's why I hired him. I mean, the guy's one of the best in the league at doing that. So you give guys the opportunity to do what they do well. Obviously, I'm still the head coach, and I'm able to help and assist. Kenny's here because of our relationship and me knowing what he does with quarterbacks. I mean, if I had the opportunity to hire him a long time ago, I would have. So I think we're closer to being the type of staff that I want to be. Not that the guys who were there before did not do the job. I just think it's been really tough on all involved, and I think we got to continue to move forward. It allows me to do a little bit more as a head coach and see the team and see the the scheme of the game in a whole different light, and I'm looking forward to doing that.
Tyrod Taylor was on with us a week ago, 2 weeks ago maybe, Coach, and he said that that they were studying, or at least he was studying, a lot of Pittsburgh Steeler film from last year. Is the offense going to be significantly different this year?
Well, I think there's always things that look the same, but they will, we will have a different terminology. We'll have a little bit different flavor. I think our players are excited about what we're doing and how we're doing it. I mean, when you really look at plays, they're really all the same. It comes down to terminology. But the one thing I will say about Ty, which I think is outstanding, he really waits until the final pieces are here and see how they all fit, and that's how we build it. And that's what you should do. The real good coordinators, that's how they go about it.
Was it tough when the fourth pick was on the clock and you guys were up and obviously Denzel Ward's there and you know Bradley Chubb's there and some people like Chubb a little bit better. We like Chubb, but obviously we don't know your scheme and what you guys are looking for and how you rate the players. Was that an easy call or a tough decision?
No, it was a tough decision. I mean, those are two very fine players, but we took the one that we felt organizationally that was the best fit for us and what we needed at the time. You know, again, having Myles Garrett here is a huge plus for us. A year ago, we don't have a what people would say is a shutdown corner, a number one corner. We have not drafted a guy that high at that position in a long time here. So Denzel Ward fits the bill of something we needed in Coach Williams' scheme, and I think we're going to be very excited about how he plays for us.
Coach, we all want to be excited about the team, and we hope the team can be successful this year. In terms of quarterbacks, you know, with Cody Kessler, you did say trust me on that. With RG3, you were excited. With Deshaun Kizer last year, you said if it does, great. If it doesn't, we keep working through it. But I probably feel better about this one. I think he's a talented guy. The guy has the right stuff. And if I'm worth my salt as a coach, I'll get it out of him if he's willing to do the work. Was he willing to do the work? Were there mistakes made by you or the team with Deshaun Kizer last year and these past quarterbacks?
Well, let me say this. I think Deshaun Kizer's still going to be a really good player in this league. I mean, you're talking about a guy who was 20 years old playing, you know, in the National Football League, and that was tough. And I still think he did some good things. Obviously, there's some growing pains when you're playing young players, and it's the same reason why I don't want to ever put a young quarterback again, right, as long as I'm here in that situation again.
Did you play Kizer too soon, Coach?
I'm not going to say we played him too soon, but he was the best of the group. I mean, he was the second-round draft pick, and we had a third-round draft pick and a free agent. That was our group of quarterbacks. So he was the best of the group. So I don't think – one thing I can't do as the head coach is mislead the locker room. You know, you're still – we're trying to win. So they see the talent on the field, so I can't not do that. But also understanding that the guy's in a tough spot, you know, and – you mentioned some other quarterbacks that we've had here earlier. All I can say to you is that, you know, obviously things didn't work out as well as we wanted them to, and that's for sure. You know, but at the same time, I hope everybody understands the head coach, I'm not going to ever come out and say I don't like some guy or I don't want some guy. I don't think that's the right way to go neither. So at the end of the day, my job is to lead a football team and put them in the best position to win, and we haven't been able to do that very well. And like I said, I take responsibility for that. That starts with me and the rest of our coaching staff and the rest of our personnel people. I think we're in a great spot right now. We feel good about the future. I understand the past. I got it. But we're trying to move on from that. I understand all the things that are being said. I understand all the narratives. All I ask everybody is give us a chance. That's all you can do. At the end of the day, Coach Jackson is still the head coach. We got some new players here. There's some new life here, and I feel good about the direction we're headed. And all we're asking for is an opportunity to make good on something that we've been trying to make good on for a couple of years.
Well, you got that chance. And the, you know these fans. I mean, they're crazy. I mean, you win a couple ball games, they'll be right back on board. But
well, God dang it, tell them to get on board.
Well, hey, listen, Coach, I was one of the biggest supporters of hiring you in the beginning, and I've been a harsh critic this past year. I'll be totally honest about it because I keep it real and I'm not a phony. I was a harsh critic this past season because I thought the team should have won more than zero games, as I'm sure you probably did. But I will give credit where it's due. If you could turn this team around, it's not easy, and I will give you credit if you do so. But, you know, anyway. That's
well,
the deal.
You can go on and say the other part, but I don't know if you can do it yet, Hugh. Well, all I can do is show you. That's all I'm going to be able to do. And I appreciate you being honest. I like when people's honest. And that's
always
the way it should be.
You got to go.
And there should be great expectations.
Yeah.
And we'll see if we can meet them this year.
You know, my partner asked you about the quarterbacks, and you specifically, Coach, when you were hired here, people called you the quarterback whisperer. And, you know, you have a track record working with quarterbacks. And let's face it, the QBs we've had since you've been here haven't really performed. I'm curious, you know, calling the plays, being the head coach, offensive coordinator.
No, that's not the problem. I'm not going to really get into it, but that's not the problem at all.
Well, no, I want to ask you, will you have more time now to basically dive into these quarterbacks since you're not doing everything?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No,
yeah, that's
I mean,
all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely dive into them, and I don't think that feeling of a year ago, whether I was calling the plays or not, that wasn't the issue with dealing with those guys. I mean, let's be honest, we had some young quarterbacks playing on a team that, you know, was still trying to find our way. You know, we're trying to become a little bit more talented in some areas so we can help them. Everything that we've been trying to do is to put the quarterback in a better position so that he can have success. I think, like I said, I think if you look at the team now, I think the team is well situated for a quarterback, whether it's Tyrod Taylor or Baker Mayfield in the future, to have a chance to have success, because I think there's talent all around it. I mean, part of playing quarterback in the National Football League is you have to have people that help you offensively, defensively, and special teams win games. They can't do it by themselves. So I think we've done a good job. Again,
right.
I take that back to John Dorsey of putting players on this team that's going to give us a chance to have success.
Coach, one of the acquisitions we haven't talked about is Jarvis Landry. I love that move that you guys made. Obviously, the guy has been a stud, averaging 100 yards and about 100 receptions and about 1,000 yards per season. He brings a different dynamic to the roster. Talk about, you know, especially I would think with if a young quarterback does play, he's going to be a huge security blanket. Talk about what he brings, what his addition brings to the team.
No, he's been an outstanding find for us, our trade for us, I should say. He's been in the building. He likes this building up. He's so competitive, whether it's in the meetings or in the weight room or now that we've been into phase two out on the practice field. I mean, he is what we were looking for. He'll help raise the level of this whole entire building, and that's what you want. And he's not going to not do what he's done the last years in Miami. He'll come here and catch balls and make plays for us.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Let's wrap it up with this. We've been playing this clip quite a bit here. We got to let you hear. This is you, Coach. Let's play it.
Hee-hee.
Remember the hee-hee?
The hee-hee?
I do remember that.
That was the moment you wanted to draft this kid.
Is that it?
That was the hee-hee, Coach. The hee-hee was the reason why.
The hee-hee wasn't the reason, but trust me, it had part of something to do with it, no doubt.
Was that really like one of the most amazing things you've seen the guys gravitate towards Baker?
No, it is. I mean, everybody has their thing. You know, sometimes some guys can do it with body language. Some guys do it vocally. Some guys do it, you know, with nothing. You know, this guy did it vocally, and his players responded, and they went on and had a great workout that day. And so that will always stick with me, because that was a time where I watched a young man with a bunch of other young men, and I watched those guys go out there and perform for him at a high level that gave him a chance to be the first pick of the draft.
Well, Coach, you owe a lot of payback to a lot of teams. Hopefully you can start getting it this year. We appreciate the time. Thanks for joining
us. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.